How is everybody doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. We've been on talking about the Ten Commandments, and it's been really, really good. I mean, not that I wasn't expecting good. I just thought the Ten Commandments were going to be like, you know, just a normal series where we're just going to learn more about God. And it turns out that it's just been an emotional journey so far. We're on the fifth commandment today, and it's one of these emotional ones, again, because it has to do with our parents. You know, we've been through these Ten Commandments, and so the first four commandments that we've already gone through have to do with the way we relate to God. So basically, the first commandment says, "You shall have no other gods before me." Now, this first commandment is basically the foundation for the following three commandments. And so basically, if you can put God first in your life, then you're not gonna have any problems creating images and worshiping other images or idols. If you put God first in your life, then you're not gonna misuse His name. And if you put God first in your life, then it's gonna be no problem, you know, with the Sabbath, the day of rest. So, just exactly the same way that this commandment or this first commandment is the foundation for the following three. Now we get to the fifth. To the fifth commandment, and now this commandment is going to be the foundation for the rest of the commandments, which is the next five. So the last six commandments are going to be dealing with the way we relate to people, to other people, whether it's parents, whether it's just neighbors, anybody that we do life with. The commandment is in Exodus 20, and it's verse 12, and it says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Shall we pray? Father, we just want to thank you for another day of life, and just thank you for always teaching us something through your word, always helping us to grow in the knowledge of who you are in our lives. And we thank you for this commandment. We thank you for everything that you've allowed me to see in myself, for everything that you've allowed me to apply to my own life. And I just ask that everything that comes out of our mouth here is just directed by you, that we just can forget about the way we look or the way we speak, or even if we're doing things in an amazing way, but that it would be your word penetrating our hearts, that it would be only about you, Jesus, and that you would just restore our hearts, change our hearts, and renew our minds. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all said amen. So my name is Gilbert, for those of anybody here that doesn't know me, and this is my wife, Cynthia.
Hello.
So today we're going to break down this commandment in four different portions. So the first portion is going to be what we learn about God. So we're going to see stuff about His character. The second point is going to be what we learn about ourselves. The third point will be what is it that God's trying to teach us with this commandment? And then the last one is what do we do with this? How do we apply this to our lives? So I'm going to start with what do we learn about God? So when he says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you, it's important to understand that honor is extremely important to God. And how we can see that is, if you guys remember in commandment number 3, he says, don't use my name or don't misuse the name of the Lord, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So in that chapter, we learn that God's name, for us to not use it in vain, is to honor his name. And his name throughout the Bible, because he has so many attributes, so many names, it describes his character, it describes his authority, it describes his reputation, it describes his honor. So when he says to honor something, is because he holds in value his own character of honor. In the dictionary, the word honor means to keep in high respect, great esteem, to stick to what is right, something regarded as a rare opportunity, bringing pride and pleasure, a privilege. As a verb, honor is to pay public respect. As a verb is to fulfill an obligation, to keep an agreement, and to live up to a commitment. It's interesting how the word honor is used in different ways. Honor in this context is the word is kabod, and in Hebrew it means importance, heaviness, respect, and to give weight to. So just keep that in mind as we go through these four different points of what honor means. It means to give importance, that something is heavy in its value and in its respect. So as we see that honor your God, honor your father and your mother, it's really interesting to note that in this context that God is saying this, remember, they have just been slaves, so they are just coming out of a slavery. They're free people. And in this context, God is telling them, honor your father and your mother. Now, that was huge TMZ news, like, because back in that day in a patriarchal culture, it was a shock. What do you mean the mother? You're going to honor your mother? Like, it was something very unheard of. This was, like, shocking. And so God here is really teaching them his character, the way he sees things. And so it's really important that we learn as a basis that family is God's invention. And it and has a purpose. And the purpose we see it is that when he takes Israel out of slavery, he tells them, you are now my nation. Now I'm going to set you apart. You're going to belong to me. I'm going to teach you how to live. I'm going to teach you how to worship. But most of all, it's because I want, through your example, for the nations to know who I am. And so as a foundation, the family has a purpose. And I think that when we realize or we appreciate and we value and honor having heaviness and high regard, the reason for family, we'll understand God's intention in putting us in a family, right? So if you remember commandment number 2, God says, I will bless those generations that love and keep his commands. He says, I am most jealous God, punishing the children for any sins their parents pass on to them, to the third and yes, even to the fourth generation of those who hate me. But I'm swervingly loyal to the thousands of generations who love me and keep my commandments. So commandment number 2 is in the context of the family. It's saying you as a parent, if you pass on my laws, if you pass on my ways, then I'm going to bless your kids and their kids and their kids. When David was about to die and he was leaving his kingdom to Solomon, this is what he said to them. He said to Solomon, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Basically, I'm leaving. He said, be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So that's the purpose of family. It's so that we can model God and his character and pass that on to our kids. That is the purpose. God's intention of a family is so that we can look like little small churches with Jesus at the center, and we can be influenced and governed by his word and by his laws. That's the intention of a family. So family is God's invention. That we want to lay that as our foundation. In the family unit, it's where we first learn. It's where our physical needs are met. It's where our emotional needs are met. It's where there's this back and forth communication of love between parent and child. It's the first place we learn about boundaries. The first place we learn about standards. We learn what is acceptable behavior and not acceptable behavior, right? We all have the picture of us with spaghetti all over our faces, eating, learning how to eat, right? And it's so cute when you're little and we take a picture and you post it. It was like, look at my baby with spaghetti all over, you know? But we're learning, you know, right there, it's cute, but do that when you're 25 and it's not so acceptable, you know, to be at Olive Garden with spaghetti all over your face. So in a family context, this is where we learn what is acceptable and not acceptable behavior. We also learn love. We learn connection. We learn how to express our emotions, how to express our opinions in dialogue. Now, this is the way it's supposed to be. I should correct myself. This is where we learn our belief system. It's where hope is cultivated. And so as a parent, it's so important. This is the first experience that a child is going to have of what the character of God looks like. So that's such a great responsibility, because like we saw in the video, the father there, when he was a little boy, every time the little boy would ask him, what is this? What is this? He was modeling God's character of patience, of understanding, of love, of realizing that he's innocent and he's teaching him, right? So, it's so important for us as parents. There's a lot of parents in this room, and we're just trying to lay a foundation about God's character and how he sees what the parent model is, and that is that we are the first face and the representation. Remember, God is our father, and so when we become fathers and mothers, we step into that role, and then we are the face of God to our children to teach them the ways of God, right? What was the purpose? So that the nations can see who God is. And so the way that we can exercise our authority in a correct way is to be connected to the root, which is Jesus, and to be sufficient in him. So we don't use our authority to fulfill maybe our dreams or to selfishly live things that we didn't conquer or accomplish through our children, our dreams, you know, or we don't use our authority to manipulate or to harm. It's more of a love. It's like Jesus. It's a love that is sacrificial. It's a love that is full of service. And how do we do this? We do it by sticking to the word and absorbing God's wisdom so that we can know how to set these boundaries that we're talking about. How to know, because every child is different, right? So we have to know when to love, when to correct, when to do this, when to, you know, show what face of God, what characteristic of God. And we can only do that if we have the wisdom of the word of God in our lives.
I was like, preaching, sister? You know, it's beautiful and it's amazing how, what great responsibility we have as parents, because we're not only shaping lives, we are shaping communities, we are shaping nations. And what best way to shape those nations than showing them what God really looks like in his authority? What does God use his authority for? The next point is basically what we can learn about ourselves. Excuse me. What can we learn about ourselves? The one thing that we learn about ourselves is that whatever our first experience with authority looks like is what is going to be shaping the way we react to people in authority over us. One more time. Whatever our first experience with authority looks like, this is what's going to be shaping the way we react to people in authority over us. Like Cynthia was saying, our home is basically the first place where we're going to be learning what authority looks like. You know, so if you grew up with parents, and I'm talking to the young ones now, the kids, you know, if you grew up with parents that used authority, I know she's like, what's up? If you grow up with parents that use authority in a good way, you know, they treat you well, and they serve you, and they give you good education, and there's many things that your parents could do good. And if you grew up in that type of scenario, then, you know, when you look at authority, you might not look at authority in a bad way, because yes, they punish you when you do bad things, but you already know you do bad things, so it's not bad that my parents punish me when I do bad things. But, you know, what about when you grow up in a scenario of a parental authority that is being used in the wrong way, what happens when you grow up in a home where there's abuse and when you grow up in a home that is not very healthy? What happens when you grow up in a broken home? You know, what is your view of authority then? I can think of my own story. I grew up with a mom, and it's kind of weird for me because I grew up with my mom, and she worked really hard to give us everything we needed, but then my father wasn't there. So although I had a great experience with mom, I still missed my experience with dad. So what do you do when you're in this type of situation? You know, when you grow up in a home that you feel maybe was not really completely there for you. The way we end up looking at authority might be a little bit different, might be in a different light. You know, if authority crashes in my home, then it's more likely to crash when I'm at school, when I'm at work, in front of a boss. It's more likely to crash when I'm in a community, whether it's a church or any type of other community, and even to the point where it gets to crush an entire nation. I mean, I'm sure we can all think of a nation that doesn't have any respect for authority, and we can see it, how it's crashing down to the ground. And this is crazy because, you know, Cynthia was mentioning, it's been 400 years that Israel was in slavery, and all they know is that they were slaves, and all they know is that they would eat when they would tell them to eat, and you would just keep working, and there was oppression. That's all they knew, and now they're free. God uses authority to free them. So now, through these Ten Commandments, God is trying to teach the nation of Israel what free people look like. What do free people look like? Again, it says, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord God is giving you. It almost seems like this command is saying, if you honor your father and your mother, then you're going to have a long life. But if you don't, you better watch out because you're not going to make it. But that's not really what it's saying. I mean, we have to see that God is speaking to a nation. In other words, he's saying, this is what saved people look like. This is what free people look like. In order for you to not continue on the mentality where you're in oppression, as long as you do these commands, these commandments, this one being honoring your father and your mother, you will not self-destruct. This is the foundation for all of your next relationships. This is where you're going to learn how to deal with other people, how to love other people. So as long as you can stick to this, you will not self-destruct. It's not talking to just one person only. It's saying as a nation, do not self-destruct. Ephesians 6, 1-3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Not because they earned it, not because they deserved it, not because they treated you well, not because they didn't treat you well, but obey them because this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Now, this was really interesting for me to think about because I started looking at studies, and Cynthia showed me these studies that it's just a bunch of different companies. I always think about naming these companies, but it doesn't really matter. But so there's been these studies, you know, that talk about what your future is going to look like and how to tell, or basically how to tell what your future is going to look like. And they say that the best way of telling what your future is going to look like is what happens at home. Now, this is crazy because you read this commandment and you almost think it's just for the children, but it's actually for us, the parents. I mean, some of us are parents and some of us are or all of us are children. So it actually puts weight on the parent first. It puts a lot of weight on the parent. And it says that these studies can tell, according to what happens in your home and the way you grow up, this is how we are going to tell if you're going to do drugs, if you're going to be in jail or stay out of jail. This is how we're going to be able to tell if you're going to have premarital sex. This is how we're going to be telling what your future is going to look like. Now, obviously, there's exceptions. Not everyone that grows up in a bad situation ends up bad. There's exceptions. There's always exceptions to every rule. But for the most part, this is the best way, according to these studies, to tell what your future is going to look like. Looking back at your home and seeing the way you grew up and your relationship with your parents. And one part was whether your parents raised you and used their authority in the right and correct way or not. And also, it places a little bit of weight on the child, too, because the study says also if you listen to them or not. If you put weight on their direction, if you put weight on the things that they tell you, the advice they give you. So it just blew my mind, you know, because, I mean, my parents weren't perfect. You know, well, my mom wasn't perfect. She wasn't, I mean, she worked hard. But I can just sit here and think back and just see the type of things that she taught me, you know, and the type of things that she told me to stay away from. And y'all know the chancla, right? Y'all know the chancla. The chancla flies to you if you don't listen, you know. And at the time, you know, sometimes I would say, oh, it's abuse. It kept me out of jail. It showed me, no. If you do this, there's going to be consequences. And if I don't show you this, then I'm misrepresenting God. I have to show you this. And that was mind-blowing for me. You know, I stood away from drugs my whole life. I've never done any drugs. And I credit this to God, his grace, his mercy. Just give me a mom who just showed me rules and loved me, you know. It's just amazing. It's God's grace. Again, there's exceptions to every rule. But this is what the study says. You know, growing up without a father and in a neighborhood where kids or friends of mine had their father, you know, going to soccer games, not with my dad, but with my friend's dad, because he was taking him, so I got invited, and I was going with him. Growing up without a father was very hard for me, because as a kid, you know, you don't really understand why dad is not there. Like, I never knew what he looked like until I was, like, 20, and it was through a picture. And it was just very difficult for me to understand as a kid. Even now as an adult, sometimes I'll just sit there and think, why couldn't I have a dad? I mean, I don't get it. So one of the questions as I was studying this, you know, one of the questions that I asked myself was, okay, I can honor my mom because she was there, but how do I honor my dad who wasn't there? How do I honor the person that was supposed to be there for me, but for whatever reason was not? How do I honor the person that never called me in my birthdays and Christmas and all these other holidays? He never called me for anything. How do I honor that person? How do I honor people in authority? How do I honor someone who doesn't deserve to be honored? How do I honor someone who treats me bad? Maybe a teacher, maybe a boss. Maybe somebody who's been placed in authority over you. How do you honor that person? And it's a struggle. I mean, if we're being real, you know, it's a struggle. We all have people in our lives that can easily be honored, you know, but we have also these people in our lives that are just very difficult to honor. Those people who treat us great and treat us amazing are easy to honor. Another thing that we learn about ourselves is that even though we have those people in our lives also, sometimes we're just selfish. Sometimes they deserve the honor. They've worked hard. They've raised us well. They've done so many things for us, and they deserve to be honored. But what we learn about ourselves, what I learned about myself, is sometimes I'm just selfish. Sometimes my comfort is more important than their needs or their comfort. That's the sinful nature inside of me. You know, sometimes we can care less about what our parents think or what their advice is for us. Sometimes we think that we know more than they do. Therefore, I don't have to listen to them. We think we know better for our lives. Gilbert, when he was 19 years old, he had a job and he was making like $5.75 an hour. Whoa, big bucks, right? I was painting houses and, you know, living my life. You know, mom paid the rent. She paid all the bills. She did this. And I helped around the house and stuff, and I helped with money and stuff. But I thought to myself, you know, I can do this on my own. I could totally do this. I can move out and I could just live my life, you know. I don't got to follow my mom's rules anymore because she's just this old lady who doesn't want me to have fun. And I could just do this. I could totally just do this. I make my own money. I mean, I give her money to help with the rent. So I could just do this myself. Obviously, I didn't think about buying, like, Q-tips and toilet paper. And aside from paying the rent and all this other stuff, right, like toothpaste and all that, I didn't think about none of that. But my mom would tell me, you know, I know you're thinking about, like, moving out and stuff, and you've been thinking about, like, being independent and all this stuff. But my advice is that you wait. You're not ready. You don't know what it's like out there. It's crazy out there. If you move out, it's going to be hard. My mother, being a mother from Michoacán, Mexico, said, you should leave here after you get married. Yeah, right? So after you get married, you know, you'll have your education, a good job, and you can provide for your wife. I mean, that's the best way of doing it. Use me as a stepping stone. It's the same word that I tell Ryan, actually. Use me as a stepping stone. I'm here to push you up so that you can have a better life than I did. Same words I tell Ryan. Same words we tell Ryan. And what did Gilbert say? Okay. That sounds all right. And then when she went to work, Gilbert grabbed his stuff and took off. I just left my house when I was 19. I grabbed my stuff. I packed the car that she bought for me with pants and clothes and a Super Nintendo. And I took off.
Big
right?
Big man stuff.
Yeah, big man stuff. You know, adult stuff. I didn't take her advice. I did what I thought was best for me. And what ended up happening is that I had a rough time. I end up living in a bad situation. I end up moving a lot because it's just really hard for me to support myself. And to a certain point, I think back now, and I mean, I thank God for just his grace and his love for me and just helping me through that time. I never went back home. I mean, it was hard, but I never went back home. And I didn't want to be under authority. I just wanted to live my life. And I realized that it was a lot harder to live my life without my parents' advice, my mom's advice, and her help. And it was just a really hard situation. So through this, God taught me something. And through this, God wants to teach us all something. So the next point is,
what does God want to teach us? And so we've seen God's character and how he values family and honor. And we learned about what we learned about ourselves with Gilbert is that we are selfish, right? What was the other one? Your first point. But here in what God wants to teach us, I think it's important that we understand what it is to honor a parent because it changes over time. Obviously, when we're little, we blindly obey. Basically, if you are a child, you have to just obey your parents. Like Gilbert read Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents, for this is right. And Jesus was our example for that. Luke 2:51 says about Jesus, then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them, talking about his parents. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus is our example. I remember when I was about 7, 8 years old, my mom sent me to go buy milk at the liquor store. And we used to live like on a hill, and the liquor store was probably like 7 minutes away, you know. And so I remember so clearly, like this was yesterday, that on my way down, I was so angry that she sent me to go buy milk that I was crying out of anger. And I was saying, someday my real mom is going to come save me. Someday my real mom is going to love me. She's going to take me away from this evil woman who sent me to go buy milk. So this is how we think when we're little. We don't understand that this is, you know, part of life. And she was still loving me, but she was teaching me the value of hard work, you know, and participating within the family. And so this is what happens in the next phase of when we become teenagers. I would like to stress that our parents have been feeding us, nurturing us, listening to us, learning about our character since day one. So they know something about us. And I think a lot of times in our teenage years, we forget that. And our peers and our friends become like louder influence and louder voice of opinion in our lives than our parents. But see, our parents, since they know us so well, they probably have a better insight on what can help us. I always used to tell Ryan, like, Ryan, imagine that you're a car and this is the road and me and Gilbert are the bumpers on either side. And so as long as you're going straight, it doesn't seem like there's any friction. But as soon as you start doing something that is not right, then you start bumping into us. And that friction feels uncomfortable. And it might feel like I'm being mean or being strict with you, but really I'm just trying to guide you to get to where you need to go to your purpose, you know? So a lot of times if you're feeling some friction maybe in your relationship with your parents, maybe examine yourself and just say, hey, are my parents really just trying to guard me from my own impulses? Another thing that God wants to teach us is having a good attitude when it comes to our parents. You can change a three-letter word that is called "ugh" and change it to "yes, mom" or "yes, dad." And that is difficult. If you can leave today and the only thing you remember is to change a three-letter word from "ugh" to "yes, mom and dad," you will have victory for the rest of your life because an attitude is so important. God wants to teach us that that family has so much value, has so much weight. And we need to, as teenagers, learn that we need to become part of the family by doing chores, by participating in the family. This is where we learn this. So what is the word we're going to stop saying? Ugh. Okay. Now, in your adult years, which is probably most of us that are in here, in our adult life, it changes because God doesn't ask us to blindly obey because now we're an adult, right? We are over 18 years old. So the relationship changes. But God will always ask us to still carry very heavy the advice of our parents. One thing that really organically I'm grateful that Ryan has done is that he will sit down with us and he'll tell us about something he's trying to decide or something he's going through. And he'll have a conversation because I feel like I've tried all my life to let him know that he can talk to me, even if it's a bad thing. That I'm not going to agree with him and I'm not going to support him in some of the stuff and say keep going that way, but I'm going to listen to him. Right? And so he has done that. And we can tell when Ryan has sat down with us, he has valued our input. He's considered our advice and he's not taking it. He's made a decision and he has done that as an adult. And we also know when he has listened to our advice, taken our insight into account, and he's made a good decision, and we can see how that has. So it's really cool and interesting to see now that he's in the military that he has had a lot of time to reflect. And his letters have really changed towards us lately. They've really been of reflection and of like, Mom and Gilbert, you guys have just taught me the ways of God, and I appreciate you so much. But it's because now he has all this time, and he doesn't have a lot of distractions, you know. So I'm grateful for that. But he's maturing. He's growing. He's evolving. But he still is making his own decisions. Now, it does change also as you're an adult if you're married or single. Obviously, right? Because if you're married, now you have become one with your spouse. And now the first person that you want to honor is God. And second is your wife and then your family. So there's always an order. But as long as you are single, to carry heavy, we said what was honor? It was to have in high respect, to stick to what is right, to regard something as a rare opportunity for bringing pride and pleasure. It's a privilege. To pay public respect, to fulfill an obligation, and to live up to a commitment. So that is how we can honor our parents now as young adults. We can look for these rare opportunities of bringing pride and pleasure to our parents. And ultimately, as an adult, when the relationship keeps going, is our parents as in their elderly form, right? Now, this is where God tells us and shows us that we should honor our parents in every stage. Something really cool that I found was that different cultures view their elders differently. Native Americans, they embrace wisdom and the life experiences of their elderly so much that they expect them to hand down all of this wisdom and their life stories to the next generation. It's actually their duty. The Koreans, when their elderly become 60 and 70, their birthdays, it's like a huge quinceañera. It's like a crazy party and a feast. They celebrate the age. In China, there's actually an elderly rights law. It's law in China that if you don't visit your elderly parents, you could be fined and even be put in jail. I wonder if that would ever pass here. I'm going to send that one to Ryan. In Greece, to tell someone an old man is actually not an insult. It's a term of endearment. In ancient Rome, this one's crazy, they rarely lived past 25 years old. So just to get to a 60-year-old, it was like, wow, what a hope, what an honor that you were able to live that long. So it was in high esteem, the fact that they were even able to get into their 60s. And us Latinos, we fortunately in our culture, we love family. We are blended. It's so common for the abuelitos to take care of the kids, right? For the abuelitos to live. You know, we did that like 2 years ago. In our house, we had Ryan, we had Gilbert's mom, we had us, and it was a big, happy family. You know, it's common. So I'm prideful of our heritage as Latinos, but even with all these other cultures, it's important that our measure is not so much from culture, because there's other cultures. There was a story I read that in Europe, 15,000 people had died, and a lot of them were elderly people, and it took weeks for these bodies to be found because these people were alone. They had nobody looking after them. So if we look at culture as our guide, we're going to find cultures that a lot of times American culture is like, as long as you're contributing, as long as you're good for something, as long as I can take advantage of you and youth is glamorized, then the elderly, we don't respect them too much. So it's important to have our guidelines as family from the Word of God and not from necessarily from what culture comes from.
You know, The interesting thing here is that, you know, when Cynthia was talking about that we lived, you know, with my mother and stuff, and my mother has Parkinson's, and it's a very weird, rare disease, but she needed the help, and we as a family wanted to go help her, so we ended up living with her, and it was very easy, because as soon as I asked Ryan, he said, of course, it's your mom. So that was very easy. That was a very easy move, but again, I come back to, what if my dad would have asked me to move in with him? The dad that I don't know. And it brings us to our fourth point. Yeah, Gilbert, like we've been talking about this, like, but how do we do this? How do I do this? The first thing that we can see here on how to approach this situation is by just looking at the first commandment. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before you, just me. And we talked about how this was the foundation for the next commandments. If we can get ourselves to honor this first commandment, it's going to get a lot easier for us to honor the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and mother. Because again, we're not being called to honor them because they deserve it. We're just being called to honor them. This is a pattern that I see that God is basically he's placed for us. You know, we know him, we love him. Now we have to represent him and become more like him. So the question was, how do I honor my unworthy parent? How do I honor my unworthy father? I mean, God is not really asking me to pretend like this didn't happen. He's not really asking me to fake it and say, oh, he was a good dad, or he just deserves it, or because God is so graceful, he deserves it. He's not asking me to fake that. But how do I do it? How do I honor my teachers? How do I honor my leaders at church? How do I honor those who maybe haven't deserved my honor? Looking at the first commandment, submitting ourselves to the authority of God. The first commandment. If we submit ourselves to God's under God's authority, then we're going to want to know what he wants from us. Naturally, when I became Christian, I just wanted to know what God wanted from me. And naturally, I wanted to just find out how I can please God. He had just saved me from this crazy world of partying and just doing dumb things, and I wanted to know how can I serve God. And right away I put myself under his authority. But how do we deal with these situations? What do I need to do? Just looking at Jesus and who Jesus is, I got my answer. What would Jesus do is what we always say, right? Like, well, what would Jesus do? What should I do in this situation? What would Jesus do? The answer that I believe was very vital to me, very important to me, was to ask God to give me compassion for those people. How do I honor those who are undeserving? Ask God to give me compassion for them. Pray that God will give them wisdom. Pray that God will give them love. Pray that God would give me wisdom. And pray that God would give me love. Thinking about Jesus, you know, this is the spirit of Jesus. This is the way Jesus treats us. As sinners, we deserved death, yet Jesus had compassion. God had compassion over us. The story of the prodigal son. This guy wants to party. He asks his father for his inheritance, and he just takes off. The Bible says that when he comes to himself, he realizes, you know, I had everything at home. He goes back home. He didn't honor his father. Bible says he should be put to death in that scenario. His father had every right to put him to death. Yet when his father sees that he's coming towards him, he runs to him and he throws a big party after he gives him a hug and sends for him to shower and just receives him and loves him. And he shows him so much compassion. God had placed authority on his father. And this father used that authority to have compassion over him. This is Jesus. And this is crazy because the same compassion that he has given us is the exact same compassion that he is now asking us to give to those who are undeserving of honor. Because Jesus is not in the business of revenge. Jesus is not in the business of taking people out when they don't act right. He wants everybody to be saved. He said, if you eat from that tree, you should surely die. Yet, they didn't die. He sent his son so that they would be restored. He wants everyone to know that there is salvation in him. As we see these people that don't deserve our compassion, whether it's a parent or any type of authority on top of us, and we respond with compassion, this opens the door for forgiveness and restoration. Why don't they change? Why doesn't my father change and come to me and say sorry? No, I'm called to go and show him compassion, just like Jesus showed me. Or do I not know that his kindness and his love was meant to bring me back and restore my relationship with him? Do I not know that his grace and love and compassion and mercy was meant to lead me to repentance? This was so heavy for me. It's very heavy for me. Because, yeah, I don't want to honor those who I don't think deserve honor, that didn't treat me right. Of course not. Naturally, in my sinful nature, I don't want to do that. But God says, look, if you say you honor me and you don't honor your parents, there's something wrong here. If you honor me and put me first, I will give you fruits. And those fruits are compassion. One of those fruits is compassion for those who are undeserving. Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Just as Cynthia was sharing, that parents are there to reflect God's character to their kids, or us as parents are there to reflect God's character to our kids. God is asking us to respond and show God's character to our parents through honoring him first and then them. That's Jesus. He came to save. He came so that we might have life. And he wants all of us to have life. He doesn't want anyone to be lost, including those people who are undeserving of honor. I'll leave you with this one question. Just think about for a second, maybe this week, this past couple weeks, maybe this month or this past couple months, how have you honored your parents. I was talking to Raul from TJ, and he was telling me, you know, I actually called my mom and asked her, have I made you feel like I haven't honored you lately? How can I honor you? And the answers were some of them were very simple, simple as just call me, you know. The one that caught my attention a lot was, you know, love God, honor God. And that is showing honor to me. I was like, whoa, that's what we're seeing. That's what she passed on to him. What great responsibility that we have. So how have you honored your parents? We all have parents, deserving or not. How have you honored your parents? I'll leave you with that thought, and we'll just pray. Father, we're just amazed at your word, and we're just amazed at the way you speak to us. We understand that your love is not only unconditional for us, but for everyone in our families. Whether they've done good things or bad things, you want everyone to be restored. You want everyone to be loved, and you want to use us as your people. You want to use us as your mirror. Help us reflect your love and your grace and your compassion towards those people in our lives, whether they are deserving or not deserving. Help us shine your light. Help us be more like you. We thank you for our parents. We ask you to just visit our parents. I personally ask you to visit my father, since he doesn't know you. And I ask you to use me in any way so that he might get to know you. Thank you for showing me that the authority that you've given me is to be used so that others might find you. Help me to be that. Help me to make a difference. Help me to give up the right to be right. Help me to represent you well. Thank you for our families. Thank you for the opportunity to be parents and for the opportunity to be children. You are our Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody says,